My guest at this time is Christopher C. Horner. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He has joined us numerous times to talk about energy policy and the debate over climate change. He joins me now to offer his reaction to the question and the responses from both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump on the issue of energy policy at Sunday evening's Town Hall presidential debate. And Chris, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, let's just set the table here. The question was delivered by the now famous Kenneth Bone in his red sweater, and it read, "What steps will your energy policy take to meet our energy needs while at the same time remaining environmentally friendly and minimizing job loss for fossil power plant workers?" And Trump went first. He made a couple of points. Let's talk about the first one first. He went right after the EPA.
Energy is under siege by the Obama administration, under absolute siege. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, is killing these energy companies.
And so, Chris, you and I have obviously talked about the EPA a lot before. What did you make of Trump's instinct to go after the EPA as soon as that question was finished?
It made sense. I think it's always easy to second guess or criticize the means of delivery, but if you point out, there are a couple of key aspects of this, which is President Obama promised to use EPA through cap and trade, which failed. So he's gone through EPA without the legislation in an even more damaging way, which even his supporters have acknowledged in trying to get people to accept legislation. He promised to use EPA in this way, and it's happening. And now we're hearing, oh, no, no, it's market forces, it's other things, even while green pressure groups boast of having killed the industry. So Mr. Trump could have pointed out it was promised and it was delivered. So when you hear a lot of rhetorical hand-waving now trying to dismiss that fact, please remember, it was promised, it's delivered, and out of one side of their mouths, a lot of the supporters of this agenda are boasting about it. So I thought that made sense. It also, I mean, just as a logical and rhetorical point, it reaffirms something an awful lot of people very rightly believe, and that is smart.
Do you think he should have gotten more specific? You mentioned the promise made and promise kept from your perspective by the Obama administration. A lot of what you and I have talked about, of course, are the means is through crippling regulation. Never mentioned the word or gave any specifics on that. How much of a missed opportunity was that?
Yeah, well, specifics aren't Donald Trump's long suit. So while I could wish he got a lot more specific on many more things, I've spent my time more productively. And besides, the truth is, it is a whole suite of regulations. It is this wall of sound of regulatory sound coming at parties. There actually isn't one rule that has been the silver bullet. There have been numerous major rules, and EPA even bragged. I mean, it would be very hard for a candidate to do much more than reaffirm what people understand by going through a list of regulations, which actually predate the most recent, the global warming regulations. There were various others targeted to take down an industry which was, again, promised and delivered. So I won't really fault him on that. EPA, I mean, you can get into the weeds, but he's got so many other things to try to really get smart on that he hasn't been focusing on for years. To point out that EPA brags about losing a court case, but anyway, they won because they succeeded in intimidating out of the investments they don't want people to make. I don't expect a presidential candidate to get into that, but hopefully a president will.
One thing both candidates agreed on, although they have different paths of getting there, is that the proper energy policy can lead to a booming economy, which can create new businesses and new jobs. First, we're going to hear Trump about clean coal and other clean extraction technologies, and then we'll hear from Hillary Clinton.
There is a thing called clean coal. Coal will last for 1,000 years in this country. Now we have natural gas and so many other things because of technology. We have unbelievable, we have found over the last 7 years, we have found tremendous wealth right under our feet.
So I have a comprehensive energy policy, but it really does include fighting climate change because I think that is a serious problem. And I support moving toward more clean, renewable energy as quickly as we can because I think we can be the 21st century clean energy superpower and create millions of new jobs and businesses.
So both are saying that we're on the brink of something huge here economically. Which one's closer to being right?
Well, I think if you want to acknowledge the past 7.5 years of what is an energy policy, it's styled as that, but it's really industrial policy. I mean, how many divisions does Solyndra have to play on her windmill solar panel superpower line, which is really tiresome if you've been watching the way that they are seeking to and effectively kill an industry to try to help. The president has said in even two State of the Union addresses, these policies are necessary to finally make the industry he likes profitable. He has said over and over, even at the UN General Assembly in his first speech, which is, you know, is very important to him. He said, we need these to finally make renewable energy profitable. Well, look, they are in a technology of the 80s, both of them, the 1880s, 1887 to be precise. But it's not the role of the federal government to finally make them profitable. So what Secretary Clinton is talking about is actually industrial policy. The problem is you're killing legitimate industries in order to create really a viable version of something that's failed in the marketplace for 125 years, therefore will be dependent upon policy and the taxpayers and inefficiencies and redundancies and mandates and so on, preferences. Why don't you use what works? And you don't need a, quote, energy policy to do that. You don't have to teach grass to grow. You can lift the rocks. And unfortunately, one is speaking a little more about allowing the grass to grow, though Mr. Trump wasn't really clear that politicians rarely are in these instances. But Secretary Clinton was clearly advocating more of what is industrial policy. I don't want A and I want B. B doesn't work on its own, and darn it, A does, so I have to kill A and have you pay for B. It has failed miserably. Again, the bankruptcies are legion. And it is not new. If you think about this, we have politicians saying, I have to kill what works because I need to make what doesn't profitable. And then they prop it up by saying, but it's new, when in fact it was commercialized in the 1880s. If they had an argument, I'm sure you'd hear it before you heard it's new and it just needs a chance to succeed. The poor dears have been living in the taxpayers, their mother's basement for 125, well, actually since the 70s when politicians decided to start doing this. But that is extraordinarily dangerous. It's killing communities. It's doing terrible harm to individuals. So what Trump discussed was, he gets into clean coal, but he didn't define what that is. Coal is clean, is combusted now in ways that you never imagined. He may be speaking code for something that has been proved not to be viable, and that's called carbon capture and sequestration. So he was unclear, but I think I got his drift. She was very clear. That's not energy policy. It's industrial policy of what's been tried and has failed. And it hasn't failed because it just wasn't big enough. But that's what she was promising. Well, then more. We'll make it up in volume.
Well, Trump pointed out that Hillary Clinton has said she wanted to kill the coal industry, which she did say during a debate in Ohio. She then tried to roll it back. And now she says that she wants to make sure that those workers are taken care of in her energy policy. But she never really says how. What do you think she has in mind?
She said essentially that, but don't worry, we've destroyed your livelihoods, and once we're finished, you're all going to be windmill repairmen, because it turns out they actually break down, they have to be replaced more than twice as fast as the economic assessments that are used to advocate this agenda assume. So she's saying, don't worry, we'll have you stringing up windmills and power lines and so on once we kill the other one. That, if you think about it, and I really wish people would, that is not only forget the harms for just a moment and the energy crisis that this causes, seniors dying, as you know, in the countries that are doing this at record rates from energy poverty, being forced to choose between heating and eating. This is a fact. That's why the president no longer says, go look at Europe how it's working, because it's an absolute epidemic there. And she's saying, I'm going to destroy one and then make you but don't worry, I've got clean energy, as she calls it, jobs in mind for you that will be dependent purely upon the state. I'm going to wreck your industry, ruin your communities for several years, but don't worry, I have something in mind. It's essentially welfare, because I'm going to put you in make work. There's a difference between work and make work. What she's talking about is make work, things that need the federal government to mandate them, give them preferences, underwrite them, and so on, to even exist at any scale. That is what she's talking about. She did actually clarify that after she grinned and said, we're going to put a lot of coal workers out of business, right, Tim? And smiling, who is the we? It's not market forces. When you hear that walk back, remember, she didn't say market forces. She said, we're going to, and she means it. But she's now trying to salve the wound by saying, but don't worry, I'll make you all windmill repairmen. That it's absolutely heartless if she has any recognition of what's been going on in these communities targeted by this agenda.
Last question, and here's another clip from Hillary Clinton from Sunday night.
We are, however, producing a lot of natural gas, which serves as a bridge to more renewable fuels. And I think that's an important transition.
Based on that comment, Chris, and other comments made during her response, it almost sounds like she's not okay with natural gas either, even though it's a clean burning fuel.
Yeah, and there was a remarkable transition about six, seven years ago. We noticed it on green groups' websites like Natural Resources Defense Council. It used to be gas was great, and then it was abundant. The old John Maynard Keynes used to say, when the facts change, I change my opinion, sir. What do you do? The environmentalists, whose worldview Hillary Clinton clearly embodies with this agenda, are when the scarcity, when the abundance changes, my opinion changes. Gas was, it was great. You know, we thought it was so scarce, the federal government once made it illegal to use natural gas to produce electricity. These are not the people you want running. You don't need a national energy policy. Grass will grow. Just lift the rocks. What she's saying is, well, now we've got an awful lot of it, so it has to be controlled. If you look at this movement, it really is a scarcity, an energy scarcity movement. Natural gas used to be, I'll let you use that if only, it used to be you're not allowed to use that, it's so scarce. Then it was, I'll let you use that if only you swear off this or let me ban it. And now it's, well, we can use this for a while because it turns out we have unbelievable amounts of it. Please take a big view of what these claims are. And if I'm going to destroy an industry, I'm going to let you use something, but not much of it, until I get you to things that are new, except they're 125 years old and have failed all along.
Chris, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for your expertise, as always.
Thank you, Greg.
Christopher C. Horner, Senior Fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.